You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is David Auker.
I think the problem is that branding people and marketer have not really firmly gotten into the strategy world, and this is the strategy world, creating growth platforms for your business, and the strategy people have never known or understand brands.
David, the vice chairman of Profit, a global consultancy about brand, growth, and digital transformation, and professor emeritus of marketing strategy at the Berkeley Haas School of Business, is the author of over 100 articles and 18 books, including Auker on Branding and Creating Signature Stories. He has received 4 career awards, including the NYAMA Marketing Hall of Fame. Named as one of the top 5 most important marketing business gurus in 2007, he is a recognized authority on brand strategy. His latest book, Owning Game-Changing Subcategories, Uncommon Growth in the Digital Age, shows how to generate growth platforms by creating, positioning, and owning new subcategories, and takes a strategic look at digital by prescribing its role in enabling subcategory formation. David, welcome to On Brand.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
I am thrilled to have you here. And boy, you talk about game-changing subcategories. Now, I think we certainly are, to put it in a positive way, we are certainly at a very game-changing time right now.
Yeah, that we are indeed.
So when you talk about the need for game-changing subcategories, how did this subcategory emerge as something that you felt like spending more time looking at, writing about?
Well, it started in Japan, where I've done a lot of work over the years, and I got a hold of 3 decades of Japanese beer data. And I was astounded to realize only 4 times did they have a surge of growth in any brand or any really change in market share over that 3-decade time period. And all 4 could be explained by new subcategories being formed, like the Asahi Super Dry, for example. And then I looked at computers. I looked at automobiles, where I saw Chrysler and Prius and Enterprise and perhaps now Tesla go for over a dozen years with no competition and enjoy with that a surge of growth. And I started looking at more categories, and again, I found the same thing. So, you know, I thought something's going on here. This idea that my brand is better than your brand strategy will create growth is just not true. It just almost never happens. So then I started to look into that more formally. And I really am become part, I think, of this, growth strategy, innovation, market disruption literature, for which there are a lot of good books, a lot of successful books. And but they lack a couple of things. One, they really lack any sense of branding. And I in looking at all these case studies, branding is a key ingredient. And and you look in their index, I've done that, they don't even have anything under B resembling branding. They just ignore it. And yet when you have this new subcategory, it's really anchored and defined by what I call must-haves, something really meaningful and distinctive. And you have to identify those, you have to prioritize those, you have to manage those over time and improve them and expand them and enhance them, and you have to communicate them. And all those 3 are branding jobs. And so what I recognize in my in my theory is that you need to create an exemplar brand. And then you use all kinds of branding strategies to manage the whole subcategory. And so it's a little different than normal branding, but it uses the same ideas and tools. The second thing that is lacking in these books, and mainly because of when they were written in one respect, is they don't recognize the digital age and what an enormous impact that's made. You know, subcategories used to be something that rarely came along. When it did, you had to grasp it and run with it. But it would be, if you look at, like, for example, you look at even computers and automobiles in the 80s and 90s, there were only a handful of companies that were able to create new subcategories. And those were very successful. But now, with the digital age, you have, subcategory formations on steroids. And it comes from four factors that are part of the digital age. One is the technology, the Internet of Things. If you look at the number of people that are now using the Internet, for example, has exploded. It's up by a factor of 9 over 15 years. The number of people using iPhones or smartphones is up a factor of 4 over 10 years. And you look at GPS, you look at voice recognition, you look at smartphones, smart factories, and with smart cars, and you look at Alexis. And all this stuff wasn't even around 10 or 15 years ago, or at least 20 years ago. And so that's enabled so much new subcategories to form. The second thing is e-commerce. It used to be not too long ago that if you had a new exciting offering, you had to hire a sales force, or you had to find a way to get in a hard storefronts, or you had to create a whole chain of them yourselves. I mean, enormous time, enormous energy. Now we got e-commerce. And some of these companies that have created $1 billion worth of value in just a decade, they're on e-commerce. They often got on there in a matter of a week or 2 weeks with almost no investment. And then you have the third thing is social. In the past, we had to create a marketing program and buy media. It was tens of millions of dollars. It took a long time. Now, social media, Dollar Shave Club, when it was introduced a 90-second video. 2 days later, they had 12,000 subscribers. Now, in the old days, that would have taken years to build. And they did it overnight, and they were off and running. They sold that company 4 years later for $1 billion to Unilever. And the fourth thing is brand communities. We've always had brand communities like the Harley Owners Group, the Hogs. But if now with digital, we have brand communities all over the place. Sephora has the Insider Beauty. We have the Etsy crowd, the craft crowd with the craft makers. They have their own community. And these communities are an amazing device to create involvement and loyalty and perceptions of competence and credibility, and both for the new subcategory, but also for the exemplar brand that's out there. So anyway, that's two ways that this book, I think, adds to the literature and strategy marketplace.
Well, I think those are some huge dots to connect. I know that when we've had folks here on the podcast talking about growth before, it's such a topic people want to learn more about, but there is sometimes this disconnect of the role that brand plays in that. And I don't know if it is the brand of branding is sometimes seen as something that is dated, is not of the right now. And you thread it through all of those very now topics that you just mentioned, from the ease of building branded communities, from the catalyst that social is for companies like Dollar Shave Club. So where do you start with the brand piece of igniting that exemplar brand?
Well, the whole concept of game-changing subcategories starts with some kind of innovation. I call it a must-have, and it comes from a benefit or an attribute or a program that really creates these growth subcategories, and it's got to be something that really provides a new or markedly improved customer experience or brand relationship. And again, I call it a must-have, because at the end of the day, these customers that are forming the core customer group regard this as a must-have, not a nice-to-have, which means that they have a loyalty toward the offering that has it. And they're inhibited, or maybe even they refuse to buy options that don't have it. And so that leads into branding, of course, because the first step of a brand strategy is to figure out your identity or vision, and that involves making sure you have these must-haves in front of you, and that you will prioritize them, and then, of course, in the second stage, you find a way to manage them so that they retain energy and they are dynamic over time, and they improve and they get enhanced. And the third is you find clever ways to communicate them. You know, it could involve social. It could involve publicity stunts that go viral through social media. But those three elements are sort of what branding is all about. I think the problem is that branding people and marketer have not really firmly gotten into the strategy world, and this is the strategy world, creating growth platforms for your business. And the strategy people have never known or understand brands. I mean, these big consulting companies that do strategy work, they historically have really been weak on branding. And so when they write books and when they do jobs, they develop the strategy. Okay, we need this kind of growth platform, and then they kind of walk away. And so anyway, I think that when you look at it through a branding lens, you just get a lot of strategic and operational power.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show. So I think what you noted there is key in this disconnect that we've been talking a lot about, in that why isn't branding a part of the growth conversation, and that kind of siloed role that we see between branding people and strategy people, both of whom are often outside experts, but there's not a lot that have crossover competencies. And I think that it's, you know, that brand is so, as you've just noted, it's a part of a must-have. It's intrinsically tied to growth. It has to be a part of that. And I also think, as you look at, I mean, we're talking about growth at a very interesting time right now. What can those listening, looking at, you know, I mean, really, it's not being dramatic to say just keeping the doors open, even the online doors open. How can we think strategically or can we think strategically about where we are right now as brands?
Well, I think this represents an opportunity for a lot of businesses, because there's a enormous need to be able to live and to operate professionally in this environment. And that opens the door for a lot of, you know, a lot of business and offerings to step up and others to get created. And so, you know, there's the opportunity for new applications for existing things. There's the ability to use existing offerings in a wider sense and with a higher purpose. And so I think there is a lot of opportunities around. And the one thing about must-haves there's a what I call a defensive must-have, a must-have that attacks the reason not to buy. You know, for example, when Salesforce came out with the first software application in the cloud and had the job of creating the cloud subcategory, the software as a service. And one of the issues they addressed was that people were insecure about the security of having their stuff in the cloud. And so they had to develop some must-haves that were defensive. They weren't saying this subcategory is better than everybody else on this issue. They had to make the claim that it was just as good. It was okay. It was not a reason not to buy a cloud system, that it would be secure. And so in this day and age, I think that you can have some defensive must-haves as well that say, okay, you can still use you can still go to our plays. You just have to be online now. You can still go to our religious ceremonies. They're just online now. And so you can adapt that way as well.
Well, and I think that that's really interesting, because I do think that there's a time of great creativity in all of this. And I think, you know, it can feel, as I asked a question about strategy, I felt like, can we even be strategic right now? But I think that we kind of have to get back to some of our strategic touchstones to be able to talk in a matter that aligns with who we are. I think that there's been a lot of robotic communication from brands, because it is a very urgent time. But I also think that it's important not to lose sight of who you are and how you talk to your, you talked about communities earlier, and we're connected with so many brands as a part of that community. And I think it's a time for those communities as we look at where we are right now as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Something like brand communities is a good example. This might be a real opportunity to create a brand community. And if you were inhibited before because there were brand communities out there and there didn't seem to be a new niche involved, this might be the time where the demand for something that provides a sense of belonging, a sense of sharing in interests and problems, that this might be a good time to move in that direction, create a brand community. And brand communities, I think, incidentally, even in the absence of this crisis, are really underused and under-understood. The whole idea of social benefits, I mean, books have been written about that, and there's a wide range of opportunity for ventures in that direction.
Yeah. And I think you talk about the social benefits, and that was a reason for my pause there, because I think at this window, I feel like I said that probably that's the buzzword of the hour, but this window of time that we find ourselves in, the social benefits, that has value to a brand on an air quote normal day, the days that preceded all of this. But I certainly think those social benefits matter a lot, because people want to, when they're cooped up at home, they want to feel like they're a part of something. And those kind of lifelines back out to their interests. You talked about the Etsy community. You talked about Sephora. What can you do to feel good about yourself if you can't get out to Sephora?
Yes, exactly. And Sephora has had now for quite a few years a very successful brand community, and get an enormous amount of participation each month. And these are people that are interested in beauty. And it's not a place you go to find out and order Sephora products. It's a place you go to exchange ideas about beauty. And, cosmetics, skincare, and, dry skin, oily hair, and so on. And it's just, it's a real outlet. There's a core that spends a lot of time each day on there.
Well, and I think if you look at right now too, something like that, a community can come together for, like you said, about beauty. Are there hacks that you can do for dry hair, with what you have at home to get out? And then all of a sudden, the brand plays a critical role. And I think there's this maybe a dated way of thinking that, the whole why buy the cow question. But I think at this window of time especially, if you can help people, you're going to build an unprecedented level of loyalty down the road.
Well, just listen to what Sephora says about the Beauty Insider community. Real people, real time, real talk. Find beauty inspiration, ask questions, and get recommendations from members like you. That just sounds like a really appealing place to go to find people with shared interest in beauty.
I think that's great. And that, I tell you, as we're sitting here talking, that story of a brand makes me smile. But we've reached the time in our podcast when I need to ask you for another brand that has made you smile recently, David.
Well, I've been looking for outlets that would move in that direction. And somebody mentioned Reno 911, a little TV show, and it made me laugh out loud several times. My favorite book for humor, which I take out and read from time to time, is written 120 years ago by Jerome K. Jerome. It's called Three Men in a Boat. And every paragraph is really hilarious, at least to me. It makes me laugh out loud. So, humor is really a wonderful driving force. Actually, my daughter Jennifer is writing a book on humor and business that'll be out in October, and she demonstrates how humor does so many good things. And that's one that's where I've gone for laughs recently.
Well, that's great, and that's what people need, and those are some great sources, and I love the topic of humor in business, so definitely connect your daughter with us, and we'd love to have her on to talk about that very topic here down the road.
Yes, I definitely will.
And David, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
I guess you just Google me. I don't know.
That's power. But we should spell your last name for those listening so that they Google correctly.
A-A-K-E-R. My company, Profit, has some wonderful people that kind of manage my persona. And so I think if you go to the Profit Reds website, you'll find that. And more interesting than finding about me is my blogs. I've blogged about 350 times, and I think there's some good stuff there. And you can get it by going to profit.com. And you go to the thinking section, you go to the Acheron branding section, and you'll find it. I think if you just Google Acheron branding, you'll also find it.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes, which folks can find at onbrandpodcast.com. David, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
And if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.